Good. I thought we would look at the perfect Christmas gift just in our time together. The perfect Christmas gift. Now Penny's out of the room, I'll let you into a secret. I'll tell you what I've brought her for Christmas. You may be surprised to know, but I've brought her an artificial leg. An artificial leg. That's not a main present. That's just a stocking filler, okay? She did actually drop a hint. She left, and again, I ought not to say this, it's a bit personal, but she left a note on my desk. It said, "I'd like something that will make me look sexy and beautiful." So I can't wait to see her face when she finds her exercise bike in the back room. Don't tell her that. I'll be in big trouble. I'll be in the back room. Is there any such thing as the perfect gift? Some of you have probably planned for months what you're going to buy for your family members or that special person in your life. Some of you have got your act together. You're excited. You can't wait to see their faces when it arrives. Some of us have planned out gifts in the past and they didn't quite go to plan when the recipient opened it and pretended to be happy but was really disappointed. How do you know what the perfect gift is when you see it? What requirements does it have to meet? Does it have to be a certain weight in gold? If it doesn't meet that weight, it's not expensive enough. Does it have to, have so many diamonds in it? Does it have to come from a certain store? Does it have to be a certain brand? And if it hasn't got a logo on it or a designer label, it's just not perfect, no matter how nice it is. And who actually decides what the perfect gift is? Is it the giver or is it the recipient? Now, I have found the perfect gift. And if you're ready, I will share my wisdom and knowledge with you because this really does seem to be the gift for everyone. I'm going to give the gift of nothing. The gift of nothing. And I'm going to be very generous with that gift and give it not just to my family, but to you lot as well. Okay, so don't forget to take your nothing home with you when you leave. Let me explain why. Nothing is truly an incredible product. Look at nothing, what nothing can do. Nothing slices. Nothing dices. Nothing is fat-free and gluten-free. Nothing is cuts cholesterol. Nothing cures cancer. Nothing makes you happy. Nothing is acid-free. Nothing is antibacterial. Nothing is recyclable. Nothing is delivered. Nothing is guaranteed to chip, crack, or peel. Nothing is politically correct. Nothing is available in boxes. Nothing is available in bottles. Nothing is available in bags. And nothing beats a great pair of legs. No, I shouldn't have put that one in, should I? Couldn't resist. Not convinced? Listen, you can come again. Not convinced? Let me give you some endorsements from the celebrity world, the rich and the famous. Actress and Hollywood legend Elizabeth Taylor said, "Nothing saved my marriage." Plato, in his works, The Republic, said, "I am the wisest man alive, for I know one thing, and that is I know nothing." The Russian-American novelist Anna Rand wrote, "If you write a line of zeros, it's still nothing." George Gershwin, the American composer, said, "I got plenty of nothing." And actor Carl Urban said, "Nothing beats a great smile." And even the great Bard of Avon got in on the act by saying, "Having nothing, nothing can he lose." And that great philosopher, Winnie the Pooh, said these words, "Doing nothing often leads to the very best of something." So that's why I'm going with nothing this Christmas. It's not the perfect gift, is it? You'd go home disappointed if you had nothing. What is that perfect gift? Let me suggest, this is a verse in the Bible. This is often called the greatest verse in the Bible. It's kind of a summary of the Bible message in one verse. Words of Jesus to a man called Nicodemus. And Jesus said this, "God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And that verse is important. It gives us the reason for Christmas. It explains to us why history is divided into BC and AD. It summarizes the whole message of the Bible in one line, in one sentence, and it tells us how we can settle our eternal destinies. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And there are four things in that verse which is evidence or principles of what the perfect gift is for each one of us. Here's the first one. The perfect gift should be a personal gift. A personal gift. For God so loved the world. You make up the world. I make up the world. It's a verse that has our name written all through it. When I do holiday clubs and I teach a verse like that to the children, I get them to repeat it, but to put their name in. So they say, God so loved Gordon Curley. God so loved Colin Howard. God so loved David McCann that he gave his one and only Son. So that if David McCann or Colin Howard or Gordon Curley or Joe Donaghy believes in him, it's personal. It's personal. Now you fellas, I don't know how many of you are going to hit the garage tomorrow night on Christmas Eve and come home with that can of de-icer and ice scraper, wrap it up and give it to the wife as a little treat. But it's not going to work. It's not. It may be a gift. It may be a personal gift from you to her. But it's not going to win her affections and impress her. If a gift is going to be appreciated, if a gift is going to be a winner, it needs thought. It needs thought. Not even finance. Any idiot can go online and click the right buttons on Amazon or any website and order an expensive gift. But it does need thought. A gift should reflect the personality of the one who gets it. So I will not be buying my lovely wife, you know, the latest DVD of all our best throw-ins from last year and the Jose Mourinho. We didn't have any goals, so they're doing it on throw-ins this year. I will not be buying her a season ticket to the Dell. It's not the Dell, St. Mary's, or to Fratton Park, because she has no interest in football. But I will buy her things that I know are suitable for her. Often simple things, a good book. My wife loves. I brought one for a birthday in November. She still hasn't read it. I said, why haven't you read it? I'm saving it for a special occasion. So when that occasion comes, she'll have read five other books before the one I got her. But she appreciates something. And I gave her that book knowing she would treasure it and value it. And when she reads it, she'll thoroughly enjoy it. It was purchased with the person in mind. So a good gift needs to be a reflection of the recipient's personality. Or a perfect gift is a reflection of yourself. If I was to make something, to create something, you know, hours in the shed, woodworking. I mean, she's got no hope of that. It took me 4 years at school to make a stool. It started off that high, and by the time I got the legs level, it was down there. You know, they still rocks today. Some of us just haven't got the natural skills, but some people have. They can produce a work of art, and it's a gift. Penny's brother, Richard, has produced paintings over the years. They are still in our carriage. We don't put them up on the front room and stuff like that, but she won't throw them away. Do you know why? Because they were made for her by her brother. So she will hold on to those. You might be surprised to know she hoards now and again. She will hold on to those things as long as she can because someone made it. The time and the effort in making or choosing a gift, I would say, counts far more than the price. Look at God's gift. It is a gift born out of love with the recipient in mind. For God so loved. That word so in the Greek text, the New Testament was written in Greek, common Greek, translated into English so that we can understand it. But in the Greek text, the word so is an adverb of intensity. An adverb of intensity. That simply means no one will ever love you more with the intensity that God does. His love is extravagant. His love is lavish. His love is beyond comprehension. No man, no woman, no child, no individual can ever love you more than God, the Bible says. And let's be honest, all the best gifts have our name on. They are personal. And as I mentioned, one thing about God, he so loves each one of us. Each one of us. The world might say you're one of 8 billion people. Jesus said, God knows you by name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And you smart alecks are thinking, oh, well, I can count them on yours. But some of you have got a good set of hair, haven't you, Joe? And he knows every single one. Every single one. So when you brush it in the morning and a few fall out, he knows exactly how many fell out, how many remain. Yes, I am jealous. So it's a personal gift. Secondly, a practical gift. What makes the perfect gift? Something that is practical. He gave his one and only son. He gave his one and only son. Listen, don't buy a bald man a comb or a brush for Christmas. It's not very practical. Don't buy an alcoholic a bottle of booze. Don't buy someone on a diet a box of chocolates. Don't buy garden furniture for someone who lives on the top floor of a block of flats. Don't buy a Pompey fan a Southampton shirt and a Southampton fan a Pompey shirt. It's not going to go down well. They are not practical presents. And if we get them, we just rewrap them and pass them on to someone else. For a gift to be any good, for it to be perfect, surely it has to be useful. And when God gave a gift to this world, he gave his son, who is useful, essential for every human being. We live in a society where Jesus is treated as an optional extra. So what? But actually, the Bible says he is the essential gift that we cannot do without in this life, and we certainly can't do without him in the life to come. A few months ago, a couple of us, David McCann and David McNeish, and I think it was a couple of others, we all went over to Hedge End, and at the King's Church was a special event for men. And so we all went, and we had a cracking evening. It was thought-provoking, it was insightful, and it was entertaining. And during the evening, they showed a number of video clips. And they showed this one that I'm going to share with you now. And it was shown in the context of inspirational. You can do it. And I want to show it, but in a different context. And I'll explain the context I'm going to show it in a moment. But I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Some of you will have seen it on the telly. But if you haven't, this is it.
Yes, I can, suddenly, yes, I can. Gee, I'm afraid to go on as turned into, yes, I can. Take a look, what do you see? 133 pounds of confidence, me. Got the feeling I can do anything, yes, I can. Something that sings in my blood is telling me, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Brilliant advert, isn't it? Made by Channel 4. It's called The Superhumans, or We're the Superhumans, and it was made for the 2016 Paralympics to promote the Games. And of course, it's saying that disability need not hold you back. Yes, I can. I can do it. And it's a good reminder. Actually, all of us are made in the image of God. We all have potential. We all have incredible talents. We all have unique gifting. We can all make a difference to the world, to our communities, to our families, if we put the effort in, if we want to. And of course, the punchline, yes, I can. But in the context of John 3:16, no, I can't. Because John 3:16 says there was one thing no human being could ever do. Didn't matter if they were able-bodied or disabled. Didn't matter if they were a man or a woman. Didn't matter if they were rich or poor. Doesn't matter if they're black or white. Doesn't matter if they're young or old, religious or atheist, wise or unlearned. There's one thing nobody could do, and that is get right with God. To deal with the issue of sin that so often cripples our lives. Bad habits, bad thoughts, bad words, bad actions. And the Bible says those sinful actions and thoughts and desires have a knock-on effect. The Bible says our sins separate us from God. And that's why people wake up in the morning and God doesn't seem real. He seems a million miles away because we're separated from God. And unless we can deal with the problem of sin, we'll never get reconnected. And no, I can't deal with it. And neither can you. And John 3:16 says there was only one remedy. One unique individual who could say, yes, I can. And that was Jesus Christ. Born of Mary, fully human. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, fully divine. As if you could take the hand of human beings and the hand of a holy God and in himself bring them together. Reconciliation, the Bible says. And we don't have to try and win God's approval. We can't. We just put our faith in Jesus Christ. He can. And the Bible says when we put our trust in him, a transaction takes place. We give to him our sin, and in return, he gives to us his righteousness. We find forgiveness from the past and a new start in the present. What is the perfect gift? Something that meets our deepest needs. And in Jesus Christ, God has met our deepest need. And then lastly, what is a perfect gift? A perfect gift is a pleasing gift. A pleasing gift. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal fullness, everlasting life. Some folks say Christianity, pie in the sky when you die. John 3:16 says, no, it's not. It's steak on your plate while you wait. Or if you're vegetarian, corn on the cob on your plate. Why, it didn't rhyme, does it? Steak on your plate while you wait. You know, back in 1891, Robert Louis Stevenson, the author of books like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, kidnapped. He gave a rather odd present to a friend. His friend, Henry Ide, once joked Christmas was not the happiest day of the year in his household because he had a 14-year-old daughter called Annie who was born on Christmas Day. I mean, what kind of parents would have a child on Christmas Day? Only the wisest, I'm told, only the wisest. She always complained, it's not fair. My Christmas and my birthday get mashed together. I don't get 2 days like everyone else. I get the worst of the 2 days. So author Robert Louis Stevenson came up with an idea of giving away his birthday. He actually drew up legal documents and in it he transferred his rights and privileges of his birthday, which fell on November the 13th, to Miss Annie H. Ide, a legal document. And from that day forward, Annie celebrated her birthday on November the 13th. Now, Robert Louis Stevenson was not the first to transfer his rights and privileges to someone else. And John 3:16 tells us that's exactly what Jesus did. He experienced death upon a cross. so you can, I can experience life eternal, life everlasting. He became human that we might experience the spark of divinity in our lives. He became a servant that we might be sons and daughters of the living God. And he became our sin bearer so that you and I could experience his righteousness. Hey, if that's not a pleasing gift, I don't know what is. And then finally, a permanent gift, eternal life, eternal life. You know, most of us get gifts, and if we're not careful, it's either last year or the year before, Arlo was given a remote control helicopter, just a mini one, a little metal one. And as soon as he's not here, so I'll tell you, as soon as he got the batteries in, it went straight up, crashed into the ceiling, and fell in about 20 pieces on the floor. Didn't even last 5 minutes. Other gifts may last longer, but eventually they will break, they will rust, they will wear out. We'll get fed up with them. We'll outgrow them. They'll get antiquated, out of date. Just look at Mr. F's wardrobe. I mean, those flared trousers, that collection of cravats. He's even got platform shoes. They're dated. Get rid of them, Mr. F. But the perfect gift is one that will always be needed. Never break. Never be outgrown, never outdated. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. And he gives us eternal life, a quality of life here and now. And when we die, the Bible says, quantity of years with him forever. Forever. So that's why I think John 3:16 gives to us what the perfect gift ought to be. A personal gift, a practical gift, a pleasing gift, and a permanent gift. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of all gifts. The Bible calls Jesus a gift that is indescribable. Too good for words. Lord, help us afresh this Christmas to discover who Jesus truly is. And how he applies to us today. For we ask it in his unique name. Amen. And don't forget, if you want to know a bit more, you're more than welcome any Sunday morning at 10:30. We always have an all-age service. Christmas Day, we have a short service. So do help yourself to any of the literature or the DVDs in the foyer if they will be of help. Let's conclude with our final carol, my favourite, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.